This is VOA News, reporting by remote. I'm Joe Ramsey. Nations from Australia to Vietnam announced more drastic curbs and longer lockdowns for citizens on Friday as authorities in the region struggle with outbreaks of the highly infectious Delta variant of the coronavirus. In Australia's biggest city of Sydney, 2 million residents, or roughly 4% of its population, face an overnight curfew next week. A lockdown of the entire city, now in its eighth week, was also extended until the end of September, with residents told to wear masks outdoors except for exercise. In neighboring New Zealand, an outbreak that began this week widened to the capital Wellington from the biggest city Auckland, prompting Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern to extend a nationwide lockdown until Tuesday. Ardern's critics question if she can repeat last year's feat of almost stamping out COVID-19, given the highly contagious nature of the Delta variant. Vietnam imposed its toughest order yet, barring residents of the business hub of Ho Chi Minh City from leaving their homes starting Monday. Like Australia and New Zealand, Vietnam was once lauded for success in containing the virus, but is finding earlier measures were insufficient. Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett received a third shot of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine on Friday, after Israel extended its booster campaign for people over 40 to try to curb the Delta coronavirus variant. New cases in Israel have surged since Delta's emergence, and Bennett, who is 49, has sought to avoid an economically painful national lockdown by ramping up third doses. Over 1 million of Israel's 9.3 million have received a third shot, but there's no consensus among scientists and health agencies that a third dose is needed. The World Health Organization said this week that data did not indicate that and wants the whole world to be fully vaccinated. This is VOA News. The United Nations Refugee Agency said on Friday, most Afghans are unable to leave their homeland, and those who may be in danger, quote, have no clear way out. A spokesperson repeated the UN's call to neighboring countries to keep their borders open to allow people to seek asylum because of what she called the, quote, evolving crisis. She says there have only been small-scale movements of Afghans crossing into Pakistan and Iran. The two countries are already host to 90% of the 2.6 million Afghan refugees registered since fleeing their homeland over the last decades. A NATO official said on Friday more than 18,000 people have been flown out of Kabul since the Taliban took over Afghanistan's capital, pledging to redouble evacuation efforts as criticism of the West's handling of the crisis mounts. German Chancellor Angela Merkel flew to Moscow for talks with President Vladimir Putin on Friday, with ties at post-Cold War lows, her final official trip to Russia as she prepares to step down next month after nearly 16 years. Relations between Merkel and Putin soured in 2014 when Russia annexed Crimea from Ukraine, drawing broad condemnation and sanctions from the West. The talks between two of Europe's longest-serving leaders coincide with the first anniversary of the poisoning of Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny, an incident that severely strained Russia-Germany ties. The anniversary of the poisoning of Navalny, Putin's most vocal domestic critic, is likely to loom large at talks. Navalny was flown to Germany last year after being poisoned with what the West concluded was a military nerve agent. Moscow rejects that and alleges a Western smear campaign. Navalny was jailed when he flew back to Russia. South Korea's foreign ministry said on Friday the U.S. envoy for North Korea will visit the South this weekend amid a standoff over South Korea-U.S. military exercises that the North has warned could trigger a security crisis. U.S. Special Representative for North Korea Sung Kim arrives in Seoul on Saturday for a four-day visit, during which he will meet his South Korean counterpart, according to the ministry. The allies began annual military exercises this week, mostly involving computer simulations with minimum personnel and no live field training in light of the coronavirus pandemic. North Korea sees such exercises as a rehearsal for war against it. It warned South Korea the drills would risk a tentative thaw in relations between the two Koreas, which reopened hotlines last month, a year after North Korea suspended them. But shortly after training exercises began last week, the North stopped answering the hotlines. Find more at voanews.com or on the VOA mobile app. Reporting by remote, I'm Joe Ramsey, VOA News.